welcome back to the one where I met your mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
And how are you,
Natalie? I'm doing okay. It's that awkward week between Christmas and New Year's. My sister sent me a meme that it was like the week between Christmas and New Year's, you're full of cheese and don't know the day of the week.
Right. Yeah.
And I haven't eaten a lot of cheese.
No, I'm full of hummus.
I'm full of popcorn.
Yeah.
Good. It's cold.
It's a cheesy popcorn. Garlic parmesan popcorn.
It was. Yeah.
I got sent by a vendor from work.
It's cold and rainy outside.
Yeah. So. But we're inside the heat on, you know, wearing socks on the couch.
Yeah.
It's real
cute, cozy,
and cuddly situation.
Real cozy.
And it was a good situation to watch a couple episodes of classic TV.
Yeah.
Some of which, I would say a spoiler for later, the more recent episode felt more dated than the other one we watched. But we're here to talk about Friends and How I Met Your Mother Seasons 2. Episodes 6, the episodes are called The One with the Baby on the Bus and Aldrin Justice. So we're going to start with Friends Season 2, Episode 6, The One with the Baby on the Bus. We get a non-perk opening.
Mm-hmm. It was an apartment.
An apartment opening. Yeah. It seems to be the way things are going. Ben is over. Ross is over at Monica and Rachel's with Ben, his son. Mm-hmm. And Ben hates Monica.
Ben hates Monica.
Ben cries whenever Monica holds him and stops crying whenever anyone else holds him, which is kind of, that's the like cold open, but it continues. Did you notice that this episode takes place entirely in the same day? All in the same day. And I noticed because we pay attention to fashions, everyone's wearing the same clothes the entire episode.
You're right about that.
So that's like the cold open, but then when we come back from the titles, it's still just moments later.
Right.
And the guys are making fun of Monica. They're pretending the basketball is a baby and that it hates Monica. And Monica throws the basketball out the window.
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm trying to figure, I know TV show apartments don't make any sense. I'm trying to figure out what's outside that little kitchen window that she throws it out of. Because the street, I'm thinking it's like
an alley?
That'd be an alley. I remember my the second apartment that I had in Chicago had like four units in it, and all of them had their kitchen window at the same place, and there was like a weird hole in the middle of the building. You couldn't like access really. It was, I don't know if it was
like generators or like,
maybe the idea was that like everyone cooks and like the fumes or whatever and go out the window and up this, like, but it was literally like there was a little hole in the middle of the building.
Hmm.
And so I was trying to picture, like, is it that sort of thing? And who's going to get that basketball? Who knows? But you shouldn't throw things out of windows.
Right.
It's littering at the very least.
Yeah.
But then we get so that's, this is where we get to the inciting incident of the episode, which is that Monica accidentally serves her brother Ross kiwi pie, and he is allergic to kiwi. Among other things, we find out that he's allergic to peanuts.
Yeah.
And at least one other thing that I can't remember the name of.
And he's also afraid of...
He's afraid of shots, afraid of needles.
He's afraid of needles.
Yeah, but he starts, his tongue starts swelling up.
We should have known. We've always called Ross as an anti-vaxxer. We called it.
Ross's tongue starts swelling up, and then we get some very funny, just Ross saying things with a swollen mouth. There's a... It reminds me of an episode of The West Wing where CJ comes back from the dentist and like her mouth is all numb.
Right.
And
I remember that.
Sam and Josh are like trying to get her to say like complicated things.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like all ready to go to the hospital. And then, you know, she's like, they're going to give you a shot. And he's like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that was funny.
Did you think it was weird that there would be a kiwi lime pie? So there was a like funny... Key lime pie, but it's kiwi lime pie, which I've never heard of.
Yeah, it seems made up because key lime is a kind of lime.
And right? Key lime pie is a type of pie. I just don't.
What I'm saying is what's in the thing. So if you're making a kiwi lime pie, is it kiwis and key limes or kiwis and regular limes?
I would assume kiwis and key limes because okay. That's what you make pies out of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's probably good.
Yeah.
I like kiwi. Yeah. I'm not like Ross. I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah.
Or allergic to it.
Yeah.
We get a line here that I almost considered putting in funniest moments, but it was more just like a line that I really liked because Monica and Ross have to go to the hospital and Ross is like, but we have Ben, who's going to watch Ben, and Joey and Chandler say they will. And Joey says, I have 7 Catholic sisters. I've watched hundreds of kids, which is very relatable to me. Like, yeah. I mean, I only have 1 sister, but I come from a family of just like scores of nieces and nephews.
Did you know that he had 7 sisters? We've talked about it.
I was trying to remember if, like, I know in the Thanksgiving episodes from season 1, there was talk of his family, because that was, do you remember season 1 Thanksgiving was when Joey wasn't able to go home for Thanksgiving because he was in the like venereal disease ad, and his family thought he had a venereal disease and didn't want him home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which is funny. So yeah, I don't know if they had mentioned the 7 sisters before, but I think we knew it was a little big bit
and we'll get to meet
all of them.
We'll see.
Oh, right. You did tease it before because we talked about how in the spinoff, Joey, Drea Di Matteo, aka Adriana from Sopranos, plays one of the sisters. And I don't think she's on Friends. So I don't think we ever meet all 7. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if we talked about this.
We meet some of them, yeah.
Okay. And then also, not quite funniest lines, but Chandler said about, like, spending his day watching the baby, he said, well, I was planning on playing basketball, but I guess that's out the window.
Well, you just took my funniest line, so thanks for that.
I did?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't think it was that funny.
It was one of them.
Yeah, I guess that's why we have more. More than one. And it's also like we're saying funniest line, but it's sometimes it's funniest moment if it's something physical, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I think I do just have lines for this episode, but
okay.
Anyway so that's that plot, the main 2 plots set up, which is, you know, the main plot is at this point is Joey and Chandler watching the baby. The second plot is Monica and Ross going to the doctor. Now we get the introduction of the third plot. Now we finally get to Central Perk.
Yeah. And we meet the owner.
Well, we've met him before. Max Wright.
Oh, okay.
The dad from Alf.
Terry.
Alf. That's how he said it.
Alf.
So Max Wright is back as Terry, and we find out that he's hired a professional performer, like singer-songwriter, to perform at the coffee shop that Phoebe would play regularly, but was not paid by the coffee shop. She was essentially like paid in tips or
but
whatever.
Terry was so mean, like saying that she was horrible.
Yeah, that he wants, when she plays, he wants to stick his finger in his eyeball and then swirl it around.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, pretty mean.
Yeah.
So that's, it's sad. We feel bad for Phoebe. She's like mad. She feels devalued, and she's mad at Terry for being a jerk. Then we found out that Joey and Chandler weren't content to just sit around and watch the baby. They decided to take it out to meet women.
Yeah.
They're going to walk around with the baby and, like, all of the baby's toys, apparently. Just, like, they're carrying everything. And there's a joke about that. Hopefully this isn't stealing another one of your funniest lines. But when Chandler says, are you sure we remembered the baby's anvil?
No, that wasn't one of them. But
it's a funny joke.
I think the show gives, like, women so little credit that it actually works. Like, everyone, all the women are, like, swooning over these 2 dudes with a baby.
Yeah, that's true. Although the first woman, played by Leah Thompson, uncredited.
Yeah.
First of 2, there are 2 uncredited name stars in this episode. We'll get to the one later. Mm-hmm. So, it's Leah Thompson, and she is taken by the baby, but she assumes that
they're gay,
which, again, we've talked about this before, like with the thing in season 1 of Ross feeling like he had to explain at, like, the Lamaze class or whatever, like,
right,
who it's like, yeah,
come
2
on,
women and a baby, we know, like, yeah, with 2021 eyes, it's like, yeah, obviously we know. And I feel like today, if I saw 2 men walking on the street with a stroller, I'd be like, yeah, it's probably a couple, and I wouldn't think anything
right
of it. So It's supposed to. I guess that's me, just me saying, like, within the world of 1990. What year are we at this point?
90.
Are we still at 95?
I think 95.
You know, I could have it called up. Yes, we're in November of 1995 here. Within that world, it's supposed to be a surprise that she assumes that. But I was like, yeah, that's what people are going to assume.
You and know? Of course, if we know Friends, we know there's gay panic.
Yeah,
and
of course
Joey and Chandler are going to really struggle with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I did want to point out the we're obviously on like the back lot, you know, the fake
yeah.
like New York set on Warner Brothers lot or wherever they shot Friends. I don't know. They stopped with Leah Thompson in front of a record store, a fake mm-hmm. record store called Free Being Records. And it had stickers in the window for Wilco, Belly, Seal, and Alanis Morissette.
Oh my God. How did I miss that?
It just is so 1995.
Yeah.
Okay. So then back to the perk, at first Rachel like convinces Terry to let Phoebe play, mm-hmm. but he's not going to pay her the way he's paying this new person named Stephanie. We haven't met yet. So Phoebe decides she's going to instead just busk on the street
mm-hmm.
and
right
try to make
front.
Money. Right. Literally right in front and make up songs on the spot about how, Terry's a jerk. He won't let me work. I hate Central Perk.
Yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a good song, I thought.
Yeah.
Then in the juggling these plots back to the hospital, Ross finally gets his shot, and the doctor, I was trying to did you recognize the doctor? Because I recognized him, not only the actor, but like recognized him as a doctor. He's the doctor when Susan dies on Seinfeld.
Of course he is.
And then okay. later he comes back in the finale when he's like testifying against George, and how did he describe his like barely restrained joy or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. I can't remember. I totally forgot about it. There's always a Seinfeld connection and
yeah.
There,
yeah.
in more ways than one in this. Oh, never mind. Never mind.
Oh, okay. We're going to get to it, huh? Then we get to the scene in which the episode gets its name, right? They leave, they're too busy hitting on two women who are so enamored of them. That they
get off at the other women stops like, oh, we live around here too. You live around here. Let's go to the bar.
Yeah. And they leave the baby on the bus.
They leave the baby on the bus.
They're
chasing the bus and then they're chasing it around the corner. And then, it like the bus merges with two other buses.
Yeah,
so
they
don't
know which
one
it
which
is.
Bus.
It's like how, Baby Driver gets away in the first scene of Baby Driver.
Yeah.
The red car, like again with two other red cars.
Both involving babies?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in a way. Maybe that's where Baby Driver got the idea.
Yeah.
Is from this episode.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like I'm just listing off, like, things. But there's a lot that happens in this
mm-hmm.
episode.
Yeah.
There's three, like, storylines. Ross, like, hurts Monica's hand, squeezing it so hard when he gets the shot. So she has to have her hand x-rayed. Then finally, Stephanie, the new singer-songwriter, shows up at Central Park, and it's Chrissy Hynde
yeah.
from The Pretenders.
Yeah.
And
she was great.
Yeah. Yeah, she's fantastic. I really liked the whole thing about Phoebe, like, questioning her about her guitar. Like, oh, yeah, does your guitar, do you know?
Do you know
the chords? Do you know how to go from this to this
yeah.
or whatever? Does your guitar have a strap? Oh, mine does.
And then also Phoebe's song, Stephanie Knows All the Chords.
Yeah, but it reminded me of like, I mean, obviously this is, it's different because it's two women, but I feel like a lot of times when women are into a thing that is like seen as like a boy's territory, there's a lot of like if a woman's like, oh yeah, I like baseball, then like men who like baseball, like, oh yeah, prove it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of one of the funniest tweets I've ever seen, or one of the funniest tweets on this topic I've ever seen, is someone said like, oh yeah, you're a feminist, name every woman. Anyway, so, yeah, we hear, I mentioned the songs, but you mentioned the songs about Stephanie knowing all the chords.
Yeah.
And the songs about,
Terry's
a jerk. So then the gay panic thing kind of comes around where in order to claim the baby who's like been, I guess the transportation department or whatever have like, found the baby and are keeping it in order to like prove that it's their baby. or at least like convince people like, that it's their baby. They have to pretend to be a couple.
Well, it's like the human services building, because there was like a nursery there, so it's not Department of Transportation.
Okay, what is human services?
Like social services.
Okay, okay. So social services. Okay, well, you're a social worker.
Yeah.
If a baby was left on a bus.
Yeah.
Could two guys just show up and say
and claim that's our baby? Like sight unseen without it? No, it would be like a full police report investigation. There'd be criminal charges.
Yeah.
There'd be a detention from biological parents. Like there would be a whole thing. And we definitely wouldn't stamp diapers property of social services, which was props to the props department. That was very funny.
I guess if they're like washable diapers, you know, like, look, social services, you know, you work for the DCFS, like they're not always well funded. You might need to recycle those
but
diapers.
But like, they're just, they're Pampers. Like they're not, they're not branded merch.
Okay. So, all right. I'm glad you pointed out that this is not the Department of Transportation they're at. This was
because there's a nursery with multiple babies.
That was my question. It was like, because there were like two different babies in there. I was like, wait, did two babies get left on the bus? And yeah, but you're right. This makes sense. Yeah. There were two babies. They had to kind of guess at which one was which. It really like, it's kind of upsetting, the whole storyline.
There was, and there would have been like a social worker, even though I always hate depictions of social workers in movies and TV shows. You know that I have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we didn't see like a bad social worker in this episode.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's like rubbed off on me. I think about it too. You know, when you and I saw King Richard this year, the movie King Richard, it was like, it totally took me out of the scene where it's like that social worker wouldn't like, this wouldn't be an emergency call. She wouldn't show up like after hours with cops. Like,
right.
Anyway. Now, where was I? We get a nice scene in which Rachel comes out of the coffee shop and sits down on the curb. I like how she puts down her little like towel to sit on the curb to comfort Phoebe. And Phoebe has this whole thing about how she doesn't want to play for the money or whatever. And she is recounting the $6.27 that she made that day. And she also says that someone dropped a condom, you know, and then we get the tag to that scene is the next uncredited cameo. Giovanni Ribisi shows up as the guy who dropped a condom in the, in her, guitar case while she was playing. And
do you know enough about Friends to know that?
No, I don't know. Is he, she shows up again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun. Well, I like Giovanni Ribisi. He's not exactly Steve Zahn, but he is an actor I've always liked and also feels very of this era.
Yeah.
You know?
Just you wait.
Okay. So more Giovanni Ribisi to come, but he has a funny line. I hope I'm not taking another one of your funniest lines.
No.
When he like shows up and he's like, did I accidentally drop a condom in your guitar case earlier? It's kind of an emergency.
Yeah. And then he shouts like, Christine, I've got it.
All right. So yeah, then we get a kind of a sweet, scene of Monica and Ross,
Like a cute like, sibling.
Yeah. Sharing
touching
like
moment,
sharing stories of them tormenting each other as kids, which is probably something that my sister and I could do. And yeah, the baby gets returned. It's very upsetting, just the thought of that they don't, Joey and Chandler don't know until they get home whether or not they've picked the right baby.
They picked the right baby.
Which is like so terrifying to think that Ross could end up with like, have lost his baby, and also that some other parent is out there like, this isn't my baby. Like someone left my baby.
Yeah.
And also social services wouldn't just let them say, all right,
New York human services. Like, this is yours. Okay. Take it. Here you go.
That's the end of the episode, except we get a tag at the end with Phoebe teaching Chrissy Hynde how to play Smelly Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically noticed, did you notice on the table, like the Friends table where they always are, there was a reserved sign. Like almost, is the show like acknowledging that like Rachel has to like reserve that?
Or it's just always reserved for them.
For them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we also
I'm sure Terry
get,
loves it.
We also get, well, we'll go, we'll get that. Never mind.
Well, should we, do you have any other stray observations or should we move on to our funniest moments?
Oh, I guess I was annoyed by the gay panic of course, Chandler and Joey. And like the whole time they were just like trying to prove that they weren't gay. Like so the girls on the bus were like, oh, like what brings you out today? Oh, we're not out.
We're not out. Yeah.
Like it was just so, it was supposed to be a funny line. It was just so awful.
Tiresome.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to funniest.
Okay, I'll start with my funniest. After when Rachel has to break the news to Phoebe that she's being replaced or whatever, Rachel says, Terry's a jerk, okay? That's why we're always saying Terry's a jerk. That's where that comes from.
yeah, that was very funny. I don't know what exactly. Okay, when Ross's tongue starts to swell. Joey said, my Uncle Sal had a big tongue.
Because Ross is like shouting childcare instructions on his way out the door and they don't make any sense.
Yeah.
And Joey's like, got it. And Chandler's like, you understood all that? And Joey's like, my Uncle Sal has a really big tongue. Yeah, that was my other one too. Do you have any more?
I had it, another one, even though Joey and Chandler were annoying during that like city tour.
Yeah.
I did think it was funny when one of them said, aim it at that pack of babes. Like, aim the baby at the pack of babes.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Should we move on to friends, but make it fashion?
Yes.
So, Chandler's kind of ahead of the times here, wearing an And One sweatshirt, which I had to look up. And One was, like, founded in 93. But I feel like it was, like, late 90s, early 2000s that I really knew what And One. It's like a basketball shoe company, but they also made other apparel. But then their thing was that if you bought a pair of their shoes, they also put together these like videotapes of like great moves, like street ball, like people playing neighborhood basketball, but like doing amazing like moves and dunks and stuff, to where it became such a thing that the And One mixtape would actually make sort of minor celebrities out of like these street ball players, and And One would like sponsor street ball tournaments and stuff. But this is all before, like, I don't even know if they were doing the mixtapes here in 95, but that's what And One would go on to be known for by the end of the 90s and early 2000s. So Chandler's ahead of the time wearing an And One sweatshirt the entire time.
Okay. Yeah. I never even heard of that brand, but it makes sense because, Chandler wanted to play basketball, but that idea went out the window.
You have any other make it fashion?
I didn't give you any of them. So Phoebe's turtleneck was pretty great.
So Phoebe's turtleneck, which looked like it was like a
striped,
but in a way it looked like when you are on vacation and you make one of those like things out of sand with like the different colored sand. That's what her turtleneck reminded me of.
Yeah,
and she was pairing it with a purple pleather jacket.
Yeah, when she was outside. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I liked it too. All right, we're ahead of schedule here. Should we move on to running jokes and motifs? Besides gay panic, there was also a fat joke.
There was a fat joke, yeah.
Because Chandler has accidentally implied that Monica is a long way off from the dream of motherhood that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tries to get out of it by saying that Chandler, like, said she looked fat or something.
Yeah.
Or saying that Joey. I will never get these two. Joey and Chandler, I know they're different people, but they're roommates and I get them mixed up.
Yes.
So Chandler's in trouble. He said that Joey said she looked fat. Any other running jokes or motifs? Well, I guess you hinted at Giovanni Ribisi being a bit of foreshadowing.
Yes, yes, yes. Chock full of guest stars. Chrissy Hynde being like exquisite, I thought. We also are revisiting the idea that Rachel's bad at her job. Like when she's talking to Terry, the jerk owner, she's like, please let Phoebe play. I'll clean the cappuccino machine. And he's like, wait, you haven't been cleaning the cappuccino machine? So she's incompetent, as we know. We talk about Joey's family. So we talk about his Catholic sisters. Of course, fat phobia, gay panic. Yeah, I loved Chrissy Hynde and Phoebe like doing the little duet, and Phoebe kind of like saying like, "This is how you do it," like teaching her the ways, and Chrissy Hynde does like a beautiful like version of Smelly Cat, and Phoebe's like, "That's a little too much."
Yeah,
but it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to point out about Friends season 2 episode 6, the one with the baby on the bus?
Nope.
Well, in that case, we'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We're back and we are ready to talk about How I Met Your Mother, Season 2, Episode 6, Aldrin Justice.
Okay, so we start out in Robin's apartment with Lily and Robin.
Not McLaren's.
We do get some city shots of New York City.
Okay.
But it's, you know, Ted's voiceover explaining that Lily, Aunt Lily, right?
Yeah, we've talked multiple times about how, like, there's usually some sort of montage before the actual first scene starts on How I Met Your Mother, and you just realize, you just pointed out, like, oh yeah, it's because they need room for the opening voiceover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lily is saying that she's only been a kindergarten teacher, so she wants to follow her dream. So we get like a montage of all like the jobs that she's trying. So I wrote them down: life coach, marine biologist, beat poet, beekeeper, and then she's in a punk rock band. So she's trying all these things.
But I also like that there was an entry for not a beekeeper.
I'm gonna be a beekeeper,
and then she shows up covered in
welts.
Yeah.
So that was really funny. She's trying to follow her dreams and find herself. She's kind of rudderless, and we learned that Ted's assistant left because he insulted her again with the fat phobia.
Yeah, I put in for similarities and differences later, like fat jokes.
Yeah, he ruined this poor woman's life because she like opened her lunch and it was like chicken on a bed of lettuce, which is like super keto. Like,
yeah, that's it. Like, it was, yes, it was a lot of chicken, but it's like a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, and it wasn't and, like, enough to. She, and he said like, "Oh, you brought lunch for everyone."
Yeah.
And then there was a joke about having 10 sides.
Oh, yeah. He says, like, also she had 12 sides.
Yeah.
And Barney's like, oh, what, you're going to make fun of her figure, too?
Yeah. It was terrible. He, like, destroyed this poor woman. So he's convinced that he can bring Lily on.
Yeah, get her a job as the new office assistant.
Yeah. We also learned that Bryan Cranston is Mr. Druthers.
This was who I teased 2 weeks ago with the Seinfeld star, who was already a star before this, because this is post Malcolm.
Yeah.
So he was already like a name at this point, and then obviously would go on to be the Emmy winning and probably overexposed star of Breaking Bad.
Oh, I totally skipped over a huge part. So when Lily's trying to like follow her dream, she gets a job at a like a tiki restaurant called Big Wave Luau.
Yeah.
And the gang goes to like humiliate her and ask about the menu and pretend it's their birthdays and kind of mock her.
Yeah, I felt like Robin was like the one who betrayed her, and then also was like,
"It was my birthday. Sure it's my birthday." Yeah. Go get that drum.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was humiliating. So that's when Ted agreed to give her the job. Bryan Cranston is a monster, and we get back to the joke about the building just being like a big giant penis.
Yeah.
There's a lot of funny jokes about the building.
They kept it going.
Yeah. They kept it going. Yeah.
But last, like 2 weeks ago, everyone was making the joke, all the boys or whatever were making jokes on purpose, being like, I had to. Here, Ted kept saying things he didn't mean to be innuendos,
right?
And it was Robin and Lily who couldn't stop giggling at the, like, he's been a little testy and crotchety.
Yeah,
he's
like, it's been hard on him.
Yeah, and we can't blow it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, everyone makes jokes about it. Like when Mr. Druther says, like, I want that thing to slap him in the face.
Anyways,
when he's like going to pitch the idea to like the Spokane,
like the hotel, whatever owner.
Yeah.
And he also says, like, cause he wants the trees to have brown foliage. And he's like, can't you picture this thing rising from an ungroomed and Ted's like, I can't unpicture it.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So in the office, Mr. Druthers is such an asshole to everyone. And Lily's like, I need to teach him a lesson. So she steals his baseball, which is signed thrice.
By Pete Rose.
So she steals it to like teach him a lesson, because that's Aldrin Justice, is, you know, taking something away from a kindergartner to like teach him the lesson.
Yeah.
And then I guess in... to punish everyone in the office, he says he's going to start firing everyone.
Three people an hour.
Yeah. It was like a hostage situation, you know, like I'm going what else? So it's like Lily taking away toys is like her personal form of justice, AKA Aldrin Justice.
Yeah.
She ends up going back to being a kindergarten teacher at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted is able to keep his job by like
firing her. Yeah.
Giving the ball back.
Yeah.
And, declaring her mentally deranged for the entire office.
Yeah. You'll notice I breezed over the whole second storyline, cause I hated it so much. And it was Barney.
Well, we skipped one thing with the main storyline you were talking about, or actually two things I wanted to point out. One, there's a whole thing about how, Ted finds out that a pair of khakis that Robin gave him as a gift were stolen by Lily as a bit of Aldrin justice.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, it just so happened I was wearing my justice khakis, and maybe I should have saved this for like the make it fashion, but like khaki just refers to a color, and the pants that Ted's wearing are not khaki. They're like stone colored chinos. So there's like a type of pant called a chino. And khakis, what you're thinking of, are khaki-colored chinos. But, like, what I'm wearing right now are olive chinos.
Those aren't khakis.
These aren't khakis because they're not khaki-colored. Whereas the...
So khaki is a color.
Yeah, the pants that I wore on Christmas Day, obviously the listener doesn't know this, but I wore...
I don't even know it, and I'm...
I wore khakis to your parents on Christmas because those are khaki-colored.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is just a bit of... mansplaining here to Ted.
Mm-hmm.
At least I can mansplain to another Ted, to another man. You're wearing your chinos. They're not. They're only khaki if they're khaki colored.
Okay.
But the other, that is a minor thing. The main thing I wanted to point out was the client from Spokane comes to view the.
Yeah.
The,
so wait,
he's
I'm not...
played by Charles Robinson.
Yes.
From Night Court.
Right.
Who passed away recently.
And when, like, the penis building is revealed, he said, that's a penis. Like, what everyone is thinking, but too afraid to say to Mr. Druthers.
But
and then he also
what said, I wanted to ask you is, do you know that that's a meme now? Like, that's a penis is a meme? Like, that reaction with the caption, you can see sometimes if something looks penis-like, someone will... on social media react with the meme of Charles Robinson saying that's a penis.
I don't know that, but he also says hats off to your lady friends. but yeah,
because she says you wanted Hammond Druthers. This is Hammond Druthers.
Yes. So yeah, this gives, Ted the opportunity to pitch his idea to the Spokane developer.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it's like a big achievement. So they go to McLaren's and do a champagne toast.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Okay, so let's...
go on to Barney's storyline.
Let's go into Barney and Marshall's storyline.
Okay, so Barney and Marshall Marshall's complaining about his law professor who's, you know, giving him a hard time and the grades are bad and she's putting him through so much. And we find out that it's a like 40 something, you know, woman. And so Barney's like, oh, is she hot? Let's see her. And it's Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour, of course, was a trivia answer. We went to bar trivia last night and Jane Seymour.
Yeah.
Or it was actually, we don't need to go into it. It was Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors, but then Jane was the connection.
Yeah. We won trivia, by the way.
Yes. And also you said 40s. I looked it up just to see. Jane Seymour would have been 54 or 55.
I was going to say she looks a little older. I mean, she looks amazing. She's fantastic, beautiful. Yeah. But
54 or 55 when this episode was filmed.
So was this the originator of like the idea of a cougar?
I don't think this was the originator, but it was clearly.
When was that original? Like,
I feel like it was already. I don't know. That just came from the internet.
Well,
I think
like explained it in such detail.
That's what I'm saying. In 2006, it must have still been a new term.
Yeah.
Like when was I should have looked up. Speaking of connections to Friends, when did the Courteney Cox show Cougar Town premiere?
Because
obviously by then it was known enough that you could name a show after it. So that premiered in 2009, and this is 2006.
That's a funny connection that I didn't put together.
Yeah, I didn't until just now. So yeah, referring to a middle-aged sexually active woman who's particularly looking for younger sexual partners as a cougar, I don't think How I Met Your Mother coined it, but I think it was new enough that it needed to be explained.
Yeah, so he goes into detail about, like, the hairstyle, the blouse, the claws or nails, you know, like...
He's doing, like, a Crocodile Hunter thing.
He's doing, like, yeah, and so they're in the, they're, like, Marshall and Barney are, like, staring at her, like, from a, like, an office plant, you know, like, on the prowl, like, hunting this, this cougar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hated it. Barney ends up like hitting on her, or first joking that he has like an accent.
Yeah, he's Luigi.
Yeah, he has an Italian accent.
Like, I was wonking to class.
Yeah, she's not having any of it, but then he hits on her like being Barney and she's like annoyed, but she's like, okay, 2 hours, meet me here.
Yeah.
So she's like, she's game.
Yeah.
But then she, like, he's totally unimpressive as a lover.
Yeah.
And she grades him a C minus, C plus.
Well, by the end, he gets a B plus.
Yeah.
I can't remember what, I don't remember what his initial grade was.
It was like C minus or something. So
you glossed over some of the most important points, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. Your oral presentation was lacking.
Sloppy and inconclusive.
Yeah. So he can't keep up with her, you know, like, and he's trying his hardest. He's like eating power bars and chugging Red Bulls, like trying to keep up with her. And
which
he can't.
Is another. Barney drinking Red Bulls is another like running thing we talked about before, because apparently we talked about, I can't remember the context before, but Barney drinks Red Bulls because apparently Neil Patrick Harris, at least at the time, was drinking, a huge Red Bull like addict.
Yeah. So yeah, he, I guess at first he was like, quote unquote, like going easy on her cause he didn't want her to break a hip, but he ends up breaking his hip. So he's in the hospital. So there's a hospital scene in both of these shows.
That's true.
Similarity.
Another connection. Yeah.
Yeah. So he ends up in the hospital. The gang is like kind of laughing at him. Jane Seymour is there at the hospital with him. And then like his final grade is a B plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else?
I just have a couple other, stray observations, nothing else to do with this story except that it has aged so poorly.
Yeah.
The cougar, like, I mean, cause, the cougar thing became such a joke. Like, do you know how, like, Cougar Town, the show, so Bill Lawrence, who created Scrubs, basically made a bet with a friend that he could pitch and sell a series called Cougar Town just based on the fact that, like, cougars were like in the air and like the pop culture air. It was like a cynical thing. Like, I bet I can do it.
Yeah.
And so then he created the show that ended up being well loved. And
it
he
was
always
Busy
like,
Phillips.
Yeah. I mean, I've only seen a handful of episodes. I think it was a good show, but like Bill Lawrence has said, like, I'm very proud of this show. I wish I could have changed the name after the first episode because it was like an in-joke with him and his friend that he could sell a show called Cougar Town. Right. And he did, and it went on to be a beloved show.
I remember they lived in a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Right? In Florida?
I think it is Florida, yeah. It's Courtney Cox, Busy Phillips, Ian Gomez
yes.
was on it.
Yes.
And then, wasn't, what's her name from the Drew Carey show on it? Maybe she was like a recurring character.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then the other dude on it, I can't remember his name, but he was on John from Cincinnati.
Okay.
Right before Cougar Town. Anyway, that, I wasn't planning on talking about Cougar Town. That'll be on our next podcast. a couple of other things I wanted to point out. Now, do we know that Ted and Lily and Marshall all went to college together.
Right.
And we know that Ted's from Ohio and Marshall's from Minnesota and Lily's from New York. But Marshall's wearing a KU, Kansas University t-shirt. Has it been established where they went to school? Did they maybe go to KU?
Maybe they did, yeah.
I feel like we'd hear more about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, just that there's... Yeah, seeing her on the breakfast table where Marshall's wearing a KU t-shirt, it made me wonder if that's supposed to be. But speaking of things that date this episode, obviously the references to Cougar as if it's a novel or a funny in the least thing, when
right.
it's not.
It's not.
It became annoying almost immediately as soon as it became, I don't know, a buzzword or whatever. But the other thing that Lily intends to steal and hide from Mr. Druthers after the baseball is an iPod, which also very much dates this episode.
Yeah.
You know,
this was very funny too. This is also a props to the prop department. When we see Jane Seymour's apartment, like okay. all of her sheets are animal print and she does have like jungle type plants, like greenery in her bedroom. Like
oh, why didn't I
her blankets, that? Her pajamas, they're all like leopard and cheetah prints.
I love it.
So that was kind of funny.
Very funny.
Also, since I mentioned props to the props department, when Lily goes back to her kindergarten class, one of the toys the kids are playing with is like a blue horn. It's not a blue French horn, but it's a blue horn.
It was like
horn.
A blow-up horn.
Yeah.
I didn't even put the connection. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of a, I guess, yeah. under themes, I guess we would discuss it.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we go to funniest line?
Lines in moment, because I have a moment here.
Okay, and I think I know what it is, because I think it's mine, too.
Well, you have pride of place in the How I Met Your Mother recap, so you get to seal it.
So even though this is a figment of Lily's imagination, when she's talking shit about Mr. Druthers and, like, what a bully he is, there's a child in the office for some reason with an ice cream cone, and Mr. Druthers... like smacks the ice cream cone out of his hand,
but in such a way that he smacks the ball of ice cream off the top and the kid is just left holding an empty cone.
Yeah.
So funny.
And then he mocks him like, oh, you want to cry about it, little kid? And Lily is actually at her desk, like crying, trying yeah. to hide her tears. Another funny moment about that scene.
Okay.
I don't know if it was funny, but it was, interesting is I don't know in what context, but, like Mr. Druthers is, like humiliating someone and says, once again, with feelings.
Oh, like
and then
the
I
Buffy
thought
episode.
Like the Buffy episode.
That's right.
With Allison Hannigan.
That's the musical episode of Buffy from
yeah.
season 6. Once more, a feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. I will. The only funny line to come out of the Cougar storyline was when Barney said, tonight, just like John Mellencamp, I am getting rid of the Cougar once and for all.
Yeah, I know you'd like that because you laughed out loud.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a sucker for like if it's a rock music based joke. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And then there were tons of like funny lines about like penis jokes that I think we discussed
yeah.
all of them.
Well, I have one more then.
Okay.
When Lily's talking about why she quit the tiki restaurant, she says oh. about 50 times a day, a guy asked me for a lay and Marsha goes classic.
Good one. Yeah. Classic.
I love how, because they're not, I mean, they're still, they're not a couple anymore. So he doesn't have to be like supportive. He can just be like,
yeah.
have an honest reaction. Like that's funny.
Yeah.
Should we move on to How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion?
Yes. I liked Lily's, first day outfit when she, for her first day on the job as the assistant.
Which
it was like
the first day.
It was brown, like a brown top and skirt. With some like ruffles.
Okay.
This is not to be confused with the houndstooth
which
outfit,
I
which I also
later
liked.
She's wearing yeah. a full like dress that's like brown like But what do you call it? It's like houndstooth, but it's like blown up big.
Yeah, it's still houndstooth.
Okay. But I've heard, because the opposite, if you have houndstooth, but it's like they're very small, I've heard that called puppy tooth.
Oh, I haven't heard that. I like it.
You like it?
Because so I don't know. Is our dog tooth, has such tiny teeth yeah. that I just think of.
So maybe if it's houndstooth and it's blown up real big, it's like.
Cougar teeth?
No, that's feline, though.
Yeah,
I was going to say, like, direwolf tooth.
Direwolf tooth, yeah.
So she had a brown direwolf tooth
yeah.
dress.
Yeah.
All right, so, well, now we've each done a little one. Do you have any more? I have a lot for this episode.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I liked Lily's work outfit at the Tiki restaurant with the coconut, fake coconut bra.
Yeah.
And the Lays and the grass skirt and everything. I liked Marshall's penguin brand polo that he wears near the end of the episode.
Oh.
But I have to say, as much of a penis as Hammond Druthers is, I liked his style. He had, like, in one scene, he's wearing a blue bow tie with like a matching blue sweater vest. It's like a cornflower.
Okay.
Blue.
He has suspenders at one point.
And then
point.
In the next,
yeah.
the scene where they present to Charles Robinson from Night Court, rest in peace. Yeah. He's also got a bow tie, which he's matching with like brown suspenders. And I liked his, I don't know. I feel like bow tie is often like a shorthand in pop culture for like, this guy's like a stuck up dweeb or something, mm-hmm. but I like bow ties. I think they look cool sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I liked his bow tie look.
Bryan Cranston was really good. He was really funny.
Yes. Yes. Should we move on to any running jokes, motifs, or foreshadowing that I already mentioned the Red Bulls. Anything else that stood out to you?
No.
Well, I'm surprised one thing didn't stand out to you, because when Marshall's talking about his teacher, who, like, I think she just needs to get laid, and Barney says, "I accept your challenge." This is the first challenge accepted.
Okay.
Which is, this is going to become a running thing of people saying things and Barney taking it as a challenge when it's not intended as a challenge. But Barney saying, "I accept your challenge," or "challenge accepted," that this is the first one. We still haven't gotten a "how are you doing" on Friends. But we got our first challenge accepted, even though he doesn't actually phrase it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I was just, like, so annoyed by the storyline that I...
It was a bad storyline.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about similarities and differences between... We talked about unfortunate fat jokes in both. Both episodes were guest star laden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that'll be a thing going forward. The main thing I wanted to talk about is that you could say that both Lily and Phoebe are going through kind of breakdowns because they've lost a gig, right? That was the first thing I thought of, but then it made me remember, wait, at the end of the last episode, didn't Monica get fired?
Yeah.
Is that just like not a problem? Like, did she get a new job? What is she doing?
She
is
had tons of savings. She's rich.
She's just staying home making poisonous pies?
Yeah.
But I guess that's... I don't know. I don't want to give How I Met Your Mother too much credit.
It's not Phoebe's job, really. I mean, it's like a side
I know. That's gig. What I was saying. That was just like the leaping off point. It got me to comparing Lily and Monica.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't want to give How I Met Your Mother too much credit by saying like, oh, it's taking Lily's career more seriously than Friends is taking Monica's career. I think this is more just a sign of how trends in TV had changed.
Mm-hmm.
That post-Sopranos, post-like... Mm-hmm. The beginning of the golden age, you know, Friends takes place before the quote unquote golden age of American television, or the new golden age, whatever you want to call it. How Many Mother takes place mid that. And I think the idea that audiences expect the things, even though like How Many Mother, most episodes have storylines that begin and end, have beginning, middles, and ends within the episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stand on their own, which is actually more true of The Sopranos than people give it credit for. People think of The Sopranos as being like highly serialized, but each episode has its own self-contained thing. It's just the fact that the things that happen in all the previous episodes exist and have repercussions in the episode you're watching. And so I think How I Met Your Mother by 2006 here is living in that TV space where the writers are expected to carry storylines on.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not a... like Little House on the Prairie style full reset in between, right. You know, Little House on the Prairie, which is all one of the greatest shows of all time, if you ask me. But it is a show that is essentially a series of standalone, like,
right.
short stories using the same locations and characters. It's very rare in that show for people to even reference, like, remember when Half Pint got rabies, or we thought she had rabies, right. or whatever.
It was just like life lessons, yeah. brought to life.
And so, like, this is how TV had changed by that time, by 2006. And it's even more so the case now. Like, I think most, even like a mainstream, very mainstream sitcom like Superstore. I feel like this is the second week in a row that it's felt like I'm talking shit about Superstore, but Superstore is maybe the best network sitcom of the past 10 years. So I want to say that I love Superstore, but even a show like Superstore has to have, or had to have, it's over now, ongoing storylines. Audiences just expect it now in the way they didn't.
I think also more credence is given to like relationship storylines. So like Monica losing her job is not as interesting as like Ross and Rachel, will they, won't they? You know, like, so if it's relationship wise, which both of these shows are just heavy all about relationships, yeah. it's not as important. It's not an investment, you know?
That takes
precedence over losing a job, over having an issue with a family member, over a child even, you know? Like, yeah. everything else is kind of like pointless compared to these relationships.
All right. Any other similarities or differences you wanted to point out?
Well, we already talked about both shows had hospital scenes.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Only one had the doctor from Seinfeld, though.
Right.
Do we even meet the doctor in the How Many Mother episode? Or are they just visiting?
In the hospital room.
Yeah. Hospital bed. Yeah.
Although, is this the first time in Friends that we learn that Ross has a PhD?
Huh. I think I just assumed, but you're right. They do mention specifically that he has a PhD.
Yeah, I guess we knew he was a paleontologist, but yeah, I guess.
Yeah, well, we knew he went to grad school because that's where he met Julie, who right. is, I guess, still a part of his life, but we haven't seen Julie in weeks.
She hasn't been in the, yeah.
Yeah. Should we move on to playing favorites?
Let's.
I don't think it's going to be a surprise this week.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, Friends. Yeah, that's an obvious.
Yeah, even though I didn't like the like all the gay panic or like gay people, like how weird it is that someone would think
like
gay.
Or like fumbling dudes don't know how to take care of babies because it's a female thing, I guess.
Yeah, as much as I didn't like that, it wasn't as offensive to me as the cougar storyline.
Yes, yeah.
Well, let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce, the one that still does not have a precedent within the show.
Okay.
How were we doing?
Okay.
This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the day these episodes aired. Friends Season 2, Episode 6, The One with the Baby on the Bus, aired on Thursday, November 2nd, 1995, a.k.a. Day of the Dead. Which is in Mexico and in much of, like, Mexican-American culture, it's Day of the Dead. In just general American and otherwise Catholic culture, it's All Souls Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was happening on November 2nd. As far as what was happening in the world, I don't know, leaders of Bosnia, Serbia, and Croatia are invited to the United States for peace talks. That was definitely, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
In the mid-90s, that part of the world mm-hmm. was obviously in tumult, yeah. and Bill Clinton was getting us involved to questionable levels of success.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked up these people, but whenever we do these, the people who were born on this day, you know, we get like people who are like famous now, but that I've never heard of.
Okay.
So Amanda Mandingo and Alex Berti were both born on this day. I don't know who they are. This thing says YouTube star for both of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But YouTube is like, I mean, that's to people under a certain age, that's where all the most famous people are. YouTube or TikTok is bigger now. But like that sort of thing, like the venues through which we still think like you get famous when you're a famous singer on TV or movies or whatever. It's just, Yeah, people just like YouTube channels.
I've heard jokes recently about like people getting excited, like it's the holiday, so people go and like visit parents and seeing like commercials for the first time like in a really long time.
Oh, because most young people are like cord cutters.
Yeah.
You and I still have cable.
So the only people who have cable are like their parents. So they're watching like Progressive commercials. They're watching like all of the commercials that we see all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. We should probably get rid of cable.
We will when we move.
When we move. Okay. Top five songs in the U.S. this week. We've got a new one. I'm hoping you know it and can sing a little bit of it because I don't recognize it. But we've got Mariah Carey's Fantasy, Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise, still a huge hit, Janet Jackson's Runaway, Seal Kiss from a Rose, and the new addition to the top five. The song is called Tell Me by Groove Theory.
Oh, it sounds so familiar.
Let's see.
If you give me some lyrics.
Some lyrics?
Let me see if I can.
Groove Theory, Tell Me, lyrics. Let me go to the, try to get to the chorus, if this would load. Come on now. Well, this is fun. Okay. The verse goes, tell me if you want me to give you all my time.
Tell me if you want me to give you all my time. I want to make it good for you.
Because you blow my mind. I promise, boy, that it'll be true. You're the perfect fine.
So tell me if you want me to. Okay.
Okay.
Yep,
you know it. I love it. We had a listener say, I can't remember exactly how they phrased it, but it was like, Natalie actually doesn't have a bad voice. Okay. David does.
Yes. Well, I have a bad voice. Maybe.
I love your singing voice.
Well.
All right. How I Met Your Mother, Season 2, Episode 6. Aldrin Justice. I have to say, like, I'm Don LaFontaine or whatever.
Yeah.
Aired on October 23rd, 2006. Yeah, never mind. October 23rd, 2003 is the day my dad died. So I always notice October 23rds. So October 23rd, 2006, other than being the 3-year anniversary of my dad passing away. Let's see. It's National Day in Hungary, which is celebrating the revolution of 1956 and the proclamation of the Republic of Hungary in 1989. What else happened on that day? Oh, here's something this was huge news at the time. Jeffrey Skilling is sentenced to 24 years and 4 months in U.S. federal prison on charges of fraud and insider trading relating to the financial collapse of Enron.
Oh.
Yeah, so, concluding the trial of Kenneth Lay and Jeffrey Skilling. So, yeah, Kenneth Lay and Enron, these were, like, this was a huge scandal at the time that I have to admit I don't fully understand the particulars of.
Yeah.
But it also, like, I get it confused because it was pre-financial, like, it was pre-recession. You know, when I think of financial collapse now, you think of like 2008 and Lehman Brothers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Enron thing like gets, at least by me, like I get kind of, I kind of forget about Enron because like, oh yeah, that felt like a precursor to what ended up being like a defining moment in our lives. The first recession you and I have lived through as adults.
Yes.
Not the last one. And the top five songs in the U.S., I think it's the same as it was last week. Ludacris, Moneymaker, Justin Timberlake, Sexy Back, Hinder, Lips of an Angel, which is, like we have agreed, made up. Akon, Smack That, and The Fray, How to Save a Life.
Okay, nothing for me to sing here.
Yeah, we need some movement on the charts here.
Yeah.
Well, then, our final segment, which now has a precedent in the show. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
Our final segment is called Challenge Accepted. And this is where we make predictions on what will happen on next week's episode of Friends and How I Met Your Mother, given only
the title
to work with and any pre-existing knowledge. So, but first we have to revisit our predictions from last week, and neither one of us got it. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm so stupid. Why didn't, when I hear the baby on the bus, why didn't my mind go to Ben?
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like looking at you like, there's a baby.
Think about babies when they're not around. If there's not a baby in my eyesight, I'm not thinking about babies is the problem.
Even when they're around, I don't think you're thinking about them.
That's true. That's not true. I like... If I'm related to the baby,
if it's a niece
or nephew.
I'm just kidding.
Or a friend's kid, you know. It's a baby I don't know, then, yeah.
Well, this is a friend's kid.
That's true. I said the gang find themselves looking after a tyke that got left on El Autobus. I was wrong.
Yeah.
They're the ones who left a tyke on the Autobus.
And the tyke is Ben, yeah.
And the tyke is Ben, a character that I will forget exists as soon as we are done recording. So I don't get any points for that. You said that Aldrin Justice is tough. New York gal Lily pits her street smarts against corn-fed doofus Marshall's legal smarts.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea for an episode, by the way, but just way off.
Yeah, they should hire me.
Yeah. So now is the time on the podcast where Natalie vamps.
Okay. Hot cocoa ornaments.
I'm pretty sure this is the same peppermint. Fearless Flyer, because you started with hot cocoa ornaments.
JoJo's. It's the first time. One on this. Winter wake-up tea. Mushroom and truffle pesto.
Okay. So, Friends, Season 2, Episode 7 is called The One Where Ross Finds Out. The One Where Ross... finds out. The one where Ross finds out. Because we had the one where Rachel finds out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of season one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one where Ross finds out. So what is Ross going to find out? The one where Ross finds out. My first... And I'm starting to think this is never going to come up. But my first thought was, like, didn't Joey and Phoebe kiss?
Yeah.
But that's, I feel like that's, at this point...
When he thought she was Ursula?
Oh, right.
Joey and Phoebe kiss only because she's conning him into think that she's Ursula.
But then, like, they liked it, and then they kiss again after? I'm trying to remember. But anyway, that can't be what Ross finds out, because why would Ross care if Joey and Phoebe kissed? So what is Ross going to find out? Like, is Rachel keeping something from Ross?
Well, I mean, it's a nod to something that has already happened. But I'm not supposed to give you...
Oh.
I'm not supposed to...
Yeah, you're not supposed to give me...
Yeah, sorry.
Hints, but I'm going to say...
You can give me a hint on How I Met Your Mother.
I don't know what it is yet, or if I'll even know.
Okay.
Because it might just be like, sometimes these episodes are called like brunch or whatever. I'm like, I don't remember what that was about.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that Ross finds out that Rachel tried to sabotage him and Julie.
Okay.
Ross finds out that Rachel's been trying to gum up the works with his and Julie's relish.
Okay.
So How I Met Your Mother, Season 2, Episode 7, is called Swarly. This is not going to help you at all.
Swarly?
S-W-A-R... L-E-Y. It's not going to help you at all. It is a funny episode, though.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Well, okay, you said... because you gave me a hint, I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Of the five main characters on How I Met Your Mother, whose name is closest to Swarly?
Okay, so it's... Barney's alter ego when he drinks a certain type of alcohol.
Okay. Okay. Swarly is Barney's I'm going to say alter ego, because I almost said evil twin, but he actually could be, for, you know, he could be
better. Why don't you
better.
Say, boozy alter ego. Or I'll let you, this is what you do best. A fig walks into a bar.
Swarthy is, oh yeah, sorry, you're doing, okay. Swarthy is Barney's alter ego when he imbibes a particular spirit.
Mm-hmm. Potent potable.
In parentheses,
potent potable.
All right. Well, I don't know. Okay, listeners, let us know actually if you like the idea of us trying to give each other clues.
Yeah.
The problem is that we're not like, each one of us knows one of these shows better, but neither of us is expert. Like, we don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of the show. Like, if you name a random How I Met Your Mother episode, I'm not necessarily going to know what happens right. in it, because they're not always... Swarthy, I happen to remember what that refers to, because it's funny to me.
Yeah, and the one where Ross finds out, that's kind of like a obviously pivotal... Yeah.
Yeah. Or he... Never mind. What if he finds out that Joey and Chandler actually did bring back the wrong baby?
Well, I think that's kind of like alluded to, because they're going to have to explain the diaper.
Yeah, but it is Ben.
Yeah.
Ross would immediately recognize.
Those babies did look alike. Was it the same?
Yeah, but Ross is going to recognize actor? His son.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying maybe it was twins like an Olsen?
Or the same baby, just in different outfits.
Oh, maybe.
Just for that scene.
Well, because my thing is, I'm guessing the way they do with babies, that
they have
Ben
twins.
Probably is played yeah. by twins or triplets. Yeah. Maybe they just dressed up two of them in different outfits.
It's possible, and, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we wrapped it up. We talked about seasons 2, episodes 6 of both Friends and How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, we did.
You can find episodes of the show wherever you subscribe to podcasts. You can also find posts for each episode at battleshippretension.com. You can leave a comment there. Battleship Pretension is the name of my other podcast, in which I talk about movies. Check out that podcast. Check out that website for my movie reviews and such. You can email me at david@battleshippretension.com. But more importantly, you can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. Please
yes.
do that.
Yes.
And also please follow me on Twitter at davypretension.
Yes.
Natalie, where would you like people to find you on the internet?
Don't find me on the internet, but do rate, review our podcast. Tell your friends,
like,
tell your mothers.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Like, subscribe.
I stepped on your
line. You stepped on my line. What else is new?
You'll have literally hundreds more opportunities to say it.
Yeah, that's true. Let us know what you think. We definitely read everything.
Yeah.
And then, again, if you like it, tell your friends, tell your mothers. Until next time, see you at Big Wave Luau.